Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning and letting us be a part of yours. We're talking baseball coming back to Arizona in May, according to a Jeff Passan report, if all things go well. And this text said, so we're going to be watching AAA baseball now, huh? I take it, I guess. There is the option that of these players, hey, if you're looking at 4 months of isolation from your friends, family, loved ones, that you could see some of the big stars not play, but I think they will.
I don't think
this goes forward without them being all there.
My gut will tell me that not one of these big time players are going to forego their salaries.
Fact.
Like, I don't think Verlander is going to go, you know.
Actually, he may be one of them that does.
Well, I know he's donating his check, which is an amazing that he's donating his entire salary to coronavirus help.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
And that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of players out there making a good amount of money. I can't imagine if your boss said, hey, it's going to be one of these crazy years. Mm-hmm. We need you 4 months here. You're still going to make your $32 million. What say you?
What?
I hate it, coach. I'm staying home.
Not going to do it.
Well, I can't see it, but if someone wants to do that, it's just another opportunity for somebody else.
All right.
And why not?
Well, more of that conversation coming up as the show progresses on, including how the Robo Umps will be implemented in this and how they worked out the last time the Robo Umps were used in Arizona. Top of next hour, though. Parents, I know it's hard. It is hard out there to be teachers now. We are working. You're a parent. Now you're teaching your kids via the digital learning system that Oregon and Washington have implemented. So we're going to help you out. At 8 o'clock, we're starting our homeschooling. We're going to bring on Amy Cutting. She's an animal curator at the Oregon Zoo. And she deals with acquisition of animals, exhibits, all those sorts of things at the Oregon Zoo. And she's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about what they do at the zoo. Any questions are good questions. So text them to us, whether you have a question, your kids have a question, 55305. And Amy is going to, she knows that we're soliciting questions from the listeners and their kids out there. So she's ready to rock and roll. She'll join us at 8 o'clock and we'll talk to her a little bit about the zoo life, man. They're shut down too.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough out there in the zoo world. So Amy Cutting, 8 o'clock. Right now though, it's 7:05.
What's hot?
Spooking!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
That Sabrina Ionescu is good at basketballs. She becomes the sixth player to win back-to-back wooden awards. She's taking home the women's wooden award for the best basketball player in the college ranks.
Yeah, congratulations to her. She's pretty incredible, just racking up the awards. She's going to need her own room just for all these awards.
Also, now a three-peat for the Nancy Lieberman Award for the nation's best point guard.
Wow.
She's so damn good. Mm. Oregonian reporting that she's down to Nike, Under Armour, and Puma for her shoe endorsement
Please,
as well.
It's Nike. Come on. Where's the argument there?
She will be the first female basketball player since, what, Cheryl Swoops? She'll Come probably on. Get her own signature shoe.
Yeah. It's got to be not. Is this even a question?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
I don't know. She's tight with Curry.
What? Really?
Yeah, she is very. But
you guys
Kobe
are
as well.
Nuts.
Kobe as well, though.
She's.
True.
You know?
Come on. She just went to Oregon. Kobe. That'd be like.
Yeah, that would be quite a heel turn for a duck. Yeah.
You can't even. You imagine her showing up to have her jersey retired in Puma gear? Not going to happen, boys.
Not going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Is there a prominent Oregon athlete that has signed elsewhere and gone against from Nike?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why would you? Ever.
A lot of money?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
When I was at Oregon, Mike Bellotti threw a player out of practice for showing up wearing Reeboks to practice.
Wonderful. Kick him off. Kick him off the tour, Doug.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Do it.
You're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so I had a problem with it. Reebok. I just said, no, it happened.
Just do that. Get him off.
Apparently Reebok, like, that's an affront to everything you're trying to
that
do.
That is completely.
Like old school, like, 90s cleats. Like, thought they were like, funny, and Bellotti's like, get out of here.
It'd be like showing up to practice wearing purple.
Yeah, basically.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Get off my football field.
Do you know that this field was paid for by the swoosh? Get out of here. All right. Hey, Larry Scott's taking what probably should be permanent, but is taking a 20% pay cut. Executive staff is taking 10% pay cuts through June at least. Plus, the Pac-12 network is laying off 8% of its workforce, according to John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News.
It's happening everywhere, so this is not surprising.
It is not.
No.
Scott, remember, the reported salary is $5.2 million per year.
Yep.
So he's taking a 20% hit on that. I think at that number, he should be fine. But Larry Scott, still the highest paid commissioner in sports.
Yeah.
Or in college sports with that one. We talked to Matt Maiocco about this guy of NBC Sports last week, but Kendrick Bourne is going to be back as a member of the San Francisco 49ers, signing his franchise tender. They tendered him as a second round. He was a restricted free agent, so he'll make $3.2 million this next year. The hometown guy.
Good money. Good sign.
And that's kind of what Maiocco was telling us, though, is that he found his role. He found his niche in that offense. And, you know, Maiocco said he felt very confident that Bourne would be back, and now it's looking all but official. I don't think a team's going to give up a second-round pick for him.
No, I can't imagine that, but you never know.
Yeah, it's a wild one. Boy, Bill O'Brien would get criticized if somebody, you know, gave up a second-round pick for Kendrick Bourne, and all you got was David Johnson and, a fifth, and a swap in sevenths?
Yeah.
Ooh. For DeAndre Hopkins? Adam Schefter reporting Hard Knocks will be a joint affair between the Chargers and Rams on Hard Knocks.
Two for the price of one.
On one hand, we get McVay. We had Jeff Fisher the last time.
Yeah.
Remember, Jeff Fisher's... Oh, can't play right now, sorry. 7-9 BS. But are the Chargers interesting?
That is 7-9 bull.
They will when they draft a quarterback in their first pick.
Justin Herbert on Hard Knocks, huh?
Oh, I don't know. I think Justin Herbert might fit better in another uniform.
Go, Chargers, go.
Which one?
There are plenty that can think about it. Cincinnati, Miami.
Oh, you think that they're going to take him numero uno?
I don't. No, I just say there's a lot of options on the board. Yeah. Lots of options.
It'll be fascinating to see how the spin of Tua Tagovailoa goes from here on out in the draft process, because he got that medical check on, what, Friday of last week?
Well, they're drafting a quarterback, or they're signing one in free agency. Hmm. They're gonna
do Chargers?
Something.
The
Chargers? Yeah.
Well, from Anthony Lynn, it sounds like the Cam Newton will be good somewhere. You know, he said that last week.
Well, of course, you don't want to get in trouble for trying to get a guy on the cheap and then go and promote him. You don't do that. Smart coach. Smart coach.
Oh. Push the wrong button. Number one sports story of the day came overnight. We talked about it earlier. Jeff Passan of ESPN reporting the Major League Baseball, its players union, and federal public health officials are talking about going into Arizona and isolating players, staff, essential personnel of the Major League ball clubs, mm-hmm. and playing in the 10 stadiums in Arizona over the fall or over the summer.
I'm excited for this. Of the three sports that are all going on, who's going to be first? Oh, MLB, NBA, or NHL? Which league is going to get first? Which league is going to roll first?
Major League Baseball, I believe.
What's the most distant sport of all? Yeah. The only thing you equally touch is the ball, unless you count touching the bases.
And with strikeout rates right now, nobody's really touching the ball. Hmm. Except for the pitcher and the catcher. But there is, it all is kind of contingent on rapid testing and the ability, and they are getting the support of public health officials on this, who even went as far as to tell Jeff Passan that even if a player tests positive, that doesn't necessarily mean they need to shut the league down if they have rapid testing. Yep. That's an important note of all this, but Adam Silver said yesterday, zero timeline. He's just saying zero timeline. So that tells me they're going to wait till June or July and just maybe wait for baseball to come back first.
There you go.
All right, 55305. That is a fan text line. Got some questions already coming in for Amy Cutting of the Oregon Zoo, animal curator, who will be joining us. Send yours in, whether it's yours or your kids, at 55305. And we'll write them down and we'll ask Amy about those questions of the Oregon Zoo and animals. She's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Coming up next, though, should Russell Wilson give back a big chunk of his salary? One prominent person that covers the team thinks he probably should. Dustin Cam on the Fan. Check it, wreck it, let's begin. Party on. All right, 55305, that's a fan text line. Questions are being asked up in Seattle. And the man, the myth, the legend, Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times is answering them. Russell Wilson did his Instagram Live over the weekend where he was asked, hey, what about Jadeveon Clowney coming back? And Wilson said, hey, we need him. He said, I need you. I think it was, I need you, homie. We need you, homie. Mm-hmm. He wants to win another Super Bowl with him. And so people are asking, well, hey, Russ, why don't you pull a Tom Brady and give it back? And Condotta did a great job of answering these questions on why Russell Wilson maybe should or shouldn't do it, kind of deep diving into would it make sense for Russ to give up that money for Jadeveon Clowney?
You know what the funniest thing is everybody really thinks that Tom Brady constantly gave money back. He never gave money back. He actually pushed it back, deferred it, and restructured. There's a big difference between actually giving money back and giving it away.
It was restructured, and yeah. It was true, though. He was never the highest paid quarterback in the league.
No.
But then again, you sit there and you go, it's not like he was broke. He was consistently top five, top three, though.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's the philosophy. Well, that's the philosophy of what the Patriots did with Bill Belichick, and that's what he always was steadfast. So it wouldn't have been any different if you would have been a place kicker or a tight end, a left tackle, or just a regular guy. You just followed his protocol. Didn't matter if it had to fit in his percentages. So Tom Brady really didn't have an option. He could have said, I'm done. I just wanted to leave a little bit earlier. But I think finally it's got to the point where he said, I'm exhausted of this nitpickiness. And he went and found a different thing. I am never going to get on board with the fact of guys take pay cuts to bring in another player. That in the National Football League does not play. In fact, it's one of the dumbest things to ever be thrown out there because this league is a minute-to-minute play-to-play league. There's no guarantees. And the fact that Russell Wilson is everything for that entire franchise is crazy to sit there and tell me if you're going to take a pay cut for 10 guys, not one. Mm-hmm. That's just nuts. You never would do that.
You know, but there is the restructuring of the contract, which if there was a guy out there, don't we agree that Russell Wilson would do what Tom Brady did when they needed Randy Moss or when they needed to get another edge rusher in? In restructuring his salary or middle,
that's not his job though. Seeing that's the funny thing is it's not the player's job to handle the cap. That's the other thing that you have to be really, really careful with trying to put on an NFL player. is that his job is to perform. It is not his job to space out money, come up with a cap analysis that will structure certain things in a certain way and analyze it 4 and 5 years out, which is what we're trying to ask for Russell Wilson to give certain amount of percentage back to give to balance out the cap for 4 and 5 years down the road. That's not what he's paid to do. He's paid to play football on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays really, really successfully.
Sometimes Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes Saturday if you're in the playoffs. You can't ask players and agents to try to break down your cap analysis so it works and benefits. That just doesn't compute.
But then doesn't that kind of go into, all right, we're trying to surround you with the most talent. And, you know, like Russell Wilson said, he goes, you know, we've got another Super Bowl to win, man. We need you. And he's sitting there and he's saying, you know, I want to win. And we know Russell Wilson wants to win. My goodness, yeah. He's a great competitor.
He's already won one. Yeah.
And you sit there and you go, all right, well, if you want to win, maybe restructuring some of that to help the team become more team friendly, where balancing it into a signing bonus, like you do your initial signing bonus, right? And isn't this why you restructure? Because you have a big signing bonus up front. And then it goes into a couple of years. It's like refinancing your home. Yeah. Isn't that kind of a way to look at it? Is that you can get that money out and put it in right now into Russell Wilson instead of waiting for years?
It just depends on how it's all, if you read through the entire contract and how some of the bonuses are structured, you can look at it exactly like that. But for my rebuttal that when someone says, hey, why don't you help us signing this stuff? I will look right back you dead in the eye with my agent and me and said, why don't you do a better job drafting? Why don't you do a better job developing players? There are plenty of good talent out there, especially at the college ranks, 2 and 3 year guys that are really, really cheap. You can't find another Russell Wilson. You can't, well, we'll just find, no, you, no, you're not going to get one. Why don't you guys do a better job drafting, analyzing the kind of talent we need to surround us and get it inexpensively? Because you can't predict injuries. That's why. But you can draft well. Like the Cowboys, excellent draft. They always draft so well. They draft well. They understand. They get it. Steelers draft incredibly well. The Seahawks draft pretty well. Not great at the offensive line. In fact, they can't figure out how to draft an offensive lineman, surprisingly. But
that's like the Cowboys with the corners. They can't draft corners.
Yeah, George Fant got $30 million. Jermaine Ifedi got league minimum. For a 1 year deal. Go figure that. Guess what round Jermaine Ifedi was drafted in?
Was he a second?
He was a first rounder. And George Fant was a basketball player. So it's hard. It's hard to draft. But one thing you know is that you never, ever give up money.
But in this league. And doesn't that kind of go down the road?
Because when you do give up a little bit of money, guess what they do the next time? Oh, let's restructure again next year. Let's constantly restructure. You don't give up leverage. And Russell Wilson's leverage, he's the healthiest quarterback in the NFL right now. He hasn't missed a start. Name another quarterback that's been just as healthy. Name a guy that's the center of the offense, the leader and the emotional leader. Well, of course, there's a lot of them that are like that. But don't tell me Aaron Rodgers hasn't been hurt. Yes, he's been hurt quite a bit. Tom Brady, that's right. He's there. He's been there. That's the GOAT. But other than that, Cam Newton hasn't been there. Drew Brees has been very solid.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys there. Yeah. They are backbones.
But
he's also 31 years old. 30. That's a big difference between being 42.
Isn't the restructuring, though, like you said with Brady, it's not, he's not giving up money. He's just moving it forward. So why is it unfair? And this is just like legitimate question. I don't understand. Like,
would you defer money because
still getting that money right now? Not always in the form of a signing bonus.
No, not always guaranteed. Because if you defer money, that means that you're using it as what's called, you defer it to on date roster. So if you defer $5 million, $10 million to 2 years over a certain amount of time, that's called what we say it's famously structured. March 4th, which is if you're on the roster, March 4th, you get X bonus, and that's guaranteed. If you're part of here during the time and you show up early to off-season workouts, that's part of, if you go to, 40% of your off-season workouts, like Tom Brady shows up to 40%, and then he leaves for the other, that's another $5 million. Those things aren't in the guarantees.
Which is what Russell Wilson did However, with Dwayne Brown to get him there. He did the bonuses, but can't you do it in the form of a signing bonus, though?
You can't.
What Brady did? Did they change that?
Well, you can do any structure you want. That's the thing is those players and their agents have to structure any – trust me, they will throw out – roster structures based in September. If you're on the opening day here, if you have this, if you have that. But those guarantees are only guaranteed if you show up to those times, if you're on the roster at those times. I can put it, just like Tommy Boy says. Remember the movie where he says, I can stamp a guarantee on the box, but it's only just the one who wrote it. Like it's I've sold you a guaranteed piece of S. If I write a guaranteed contract that says if I'm on the roster at this time, is it really guaranteed if they cut me?
Hey.
It's not.
I'll tell you this,
That's the smoke and mirrors that the NFL does quite often.
If there's fans out there that are going, like the Patriots have a ton of dead cap money now that Brady's gone, because that deferred payment, you have to pay the Piper at some point, right?
Well, you don't actually pay it in cash, but you do pay for it on your dead cap money.
You can't spend elsewhere.
Can't do it.
But on this, coming from a Patriots fan, it was worth, you know, it's worth extra Super Bowls if the guy's willing to do it. But
you can't guarantee Super Bowls. That's impossible.
No, I'm not guaranteeing. No. Oh,
you can look back and say, hey, thank God those guys did that. Super Bowls.
I'm saying, though, that it is worth it if you have a guy who is, and Russell Wilson fits this mold of Tom Brady, where if he is good enough to where he is that dominant of a player, and he's that guy that he's the piece that can get you that extra mile, if he's willing to do that, and I think Russell Wilson is that type of player, then to get that one extra piece. And here's the thing. I don't know if Jadeveon Clowney is that piece. I'm not sold that he is that guy that you do this for.
Well, like, first of all, Jadeveon Clowney made a big, big mistake coming off of his number and announcing it. It was a terrible mistake.
Well, Brady did it for Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy you do it for. I don't think Jadeveon Clowney is on par with a Randy Moss type player. You know, Tom Brady did it so they could keep his offensive line together, and so they could get guys like Junior Seau to build that defense that was a monster. Like,
but what this is,
I don't think Clowney's that guy, though.
I know. I get so tired of listening to the Tom Brady, and I'm not saying you do it, but you do it. But that's just part of your nature of being a Patriot fan.
Well, that's part of the conversation of restructuring your deal to win.
But the exceptions that don't prove rules is that you are not Thomas Edward Brady. You're not the Patriots, and you're not Bill Belichick style. Pete Carroll and John Schneider have never asked for players to restructure. They don't do that. They've said, take pay cuts. That's a whole different deal. Or they've said, we're not going to give you a new deal with 2 years left on your deal. But they've never set the precedent of being teams that ask for pay cuts. They said, Cam Chancellor, you don't get a new deal. Earl Thomas, you don't get a new deal. Marshawn Lynch, you're worth too much. You're asking for $10 million. You're holding out. Okay, we kind of succumbed to your $10 million. And then they let him. But then they cut him and they said, we're done with that. They've never set that up. So if you're Russell Wilson, why would you start that?
Well,
because that's not their management style, and they've never done that. So I can appreciate the fans and trying to use Tom Brady as an example, but it doesn't compute with the organizations because that's not what they do.
But the Dwayne Brown deal to get him in a trade, he did do that, though. Remember that, and it's in.
But that was a trade.
Article.
This is a trade.
Well, no, he restructured his deal to turn it into salary bonus to get that $4 million in cap space. Well,
yeah.
And maybe he opened Pandora's box to this conversation even being a thing.
No matter how we look at this move, if you look at Dwayne Brown or how any veteran or any guy that you're trying to help on this team, this is exactly the strategy of what media wants to do, what organizations want to do, is they want to tell you is once you get paid. I've seen this happen to players that I played with specifically during the time to that when an NFL, this is the crazy part, is that there's no other league in the history of sports that sign you to a contract and someone tries to look at the piece of paper, it's signed to the contract. And then 12 months later, 7 months later, 8 months later say, well, that was bad. Can we redo it?
There's no
other league that does this. And it's crazy that a fan would sit there and go, well, why doesn't he? He just signed it a year ago.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that I had two unbelievable starters, got hurt. Okay. The backups came in, played wonderfully, got a 3-year contract. The starter came back. You know what the team went and did to him? To the backup that played well and got a 3-year extension, they went, hey, by the way, the starter's back. You did really good. We signed you to a 3-year deal, but guess what we want you to do? We need you to cancel that contract, rip it up, and we're going to go back to the level. Oh, really? You're going to do that to us? And then, yeah, and if you hold out, we're going to bash your name publicly. That way no one will resign you.
How much of that do you think is...
Happens all the time.
Is to the win now league. It is a win now league in the National Football League. And, you know, almost like on any other sport where, like in the NBA, you go and you get these guys, but you, in a trade, it has to be dollar for dollar value coming back. Like the NFL doesn't have that. That's why you need a guy to restructure, to bring in a big contract like, you know, Dwayne Brown or DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, there's a difference between moving money and taking a pay cut. Okay, restructuring, moving money, and putting it in a certain way. If a player's willing to, like your Russell Wilson example,
yeah,
move money to a guaranteed spot, that is a completely different deal than guys taking pay cuts.
Fact.
And trying to go around and restructure. That's the lies that happen with these contracts. NFL needs to, and I'm never, it's really hard for, I guess, for the novice fan to try to imagine every contract, no matter how it's written, is year to year in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's year. In fact, it might be shorter than 12 months. It might be on a, and if you would talk about a performance from July to January contract.
And what you're talking about there is the narrative that's put out there. Like it, almost what teams do is they may, or agents do, is make their guy look like the hero by saying, my guy's taking a pay cut. When what you just explained is that's not the reality. What they're doing is actually just shifting money and moving money to a different place. It's still the money that they were going to get though. But it's like, hey, he's not getting it this year.
Yeah,
well, he's getting it eventually. You know?
Russell Wilson is not taking less money.
No.
Tom Brady never took less money. He pushed it and moved it, backloaded it, changed it, put it in bonuses, put it in roster movements, roster bonus, on roster stuff, performance bonus, all those things, but were guaranteed. And such a low number is like, if Tom Brady throws for 2,000 yards, you get an extra $3 million. Those things are very well structured. But it helps, I guess I would say, it helps the Patriots find a way in their strategy.
So confusing.
But of course, Major League Baseball would never do that. NBA would never do that.
Give a guaranteed contract. That's why.
Right. Yet fans want guys to take pay cuts, which is, I mean, get out of someone else's wallet. It's dumb.
And unlike in any of their leagues, you pay forever. Like the NFL retroactively punishes you with so much dead cap. Now, the NBA and MLB do have dead cap money, but it doesn't hamstring you for nearly as long as the NFL does. Isn't that a crazy thing about it, too? Is like, is that really competitive balance in the league?
Well, I guess on the fans' perspective and on the total side, it's what makes the NFL it's an extreme product. That the sense of urgency is always going to be there. And it creates pressure, anxiety, stress, all those things, and gives, and it's for the fans. The league is really for fans. And that's why it's the best sports that we have in our country. And it's why it's number one. That's why it leads us in every conversation we talk about, it from college football, but in the NFL, it is number one for a reason. The sense of urgency and the sense of fear, injuries, uncertainty. And it's just great to watch. But don't take pay cuts.
And if it is, it's not really a pay cut.
No, it's never a pay cut.
All right, Dabo, back at it.
It's the dadgum mistake.
After Buck. All right, 55305 is the fan text sign. We've got Amy Cutting, animal curator at the Oregon Zoo, coming up at 8 o'clock. It's part of a segment we're doing, a little homeschooling for you parent teachers out there. We'll give you about 10 to 15 minutes of Q&A with a animal curator at the Oregon Zoo. So if you or your kids got questions on the zoo, text us 55305. We'll ask Amy at 8. Dabo Swinney, he's at it. He's talking, man. Dadgum. He has quite the opinion on college football. He says there's zero doubts that college football is going to be returning in 2020. He thinks that it's going to happen, and he, I guess, harnessed the power of Americans to do it. In what he is saying, according to Dennis Dobb of CBS Sports, it says that he noted that his family has traveled once to Florida on a private plane for vacation, and may do again for Easter. The plane was sanitized. We don't have any concern. He's basically saying we will beat this because, you know, we're America. We can do it, and, you know, this is who we are. Zero doubt, football will start on time.
So what's the outs or the anger or the angst, I'm sorry, that Dabo did?
Well,
do you think it's because he went on a private plane?
In a world where
So we're all supposed to sit and be in utter shaking fear if you have the means.
No, but in a world where like LSU coach Ed Orgeron, you know, this is brought up like Edo and Matthew McConaughey, Nick Saban, PJ Fleck, all these guys are doing their PSAs for stay at home orders.
Yep.
You know, he's kind of going against the grain on this.
Well, what did he do? I'm trying to figure this out.
He went to Florida.
On a private plane?
On a private plane.
Okay.
And he says the plane was sanitized. Right. We don't have any concern. But
isn't that like getting in your car? If you have a private car and you'd sanitize your car, isn't that the same thing?
And I'm assuming that it was his home in Florida that he went to. I know of a lot of people that are doing that right now. Like,
whoa, you know a lot of people have private planes.
No. They're going to their vacation homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they have, like, whether it's Eagle Crest or Black Butte, Sun River, wherever.
Yeah.
The coast here. You know, I have a lot of people that are doing that same kind of deal.
Trying to isolate.
He's doing it on a private plane and saying, I'm going to do it again. I think the greater thing here is that, okay, so what if you're in South Carolina and you're going from South Carolina to Florida and you take the virus with you, and I'm assuming you're going to go to the store or something like that, or unless you're packing your groceries on your private plane.
I saw there was a billionaire that I think, or it was a couple hundred millionaire or something, or that was showing pictures of them self-isolating on their, I don't know, it was like a $200 million yacht or something. And then Twitter just roasted, we feel sorry for you and your self-isolation and quarantining on your $200 million yacht or whatever. It's just like, look, okay, what do you want to dabble?
Was he adhering to quarantining any travel, like into the state of Florida or the state of South Carolina for 2 weeks?
Certainly,
after?
I don't know what South Carolina and Florida's rules are.
Well, it says
if you
here
can
that,
get on an airplane or not.
Well, this one says that South Carolina has a recommended 2-week quarantine post travel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going out. You're staying in, you know, even groceries and stuff getting dropped on your doorstep, that kind of quarantine. We're not talking like stay at home, but you can still go to the store. This is like they want you to quarantine yourself, not have any interactions with people. And I think that that is one of the things that you've got to take seriously.
No.
The way that he poses it, I guess, like, and this is the problem with like a lot of print stuff is we don't have full context of what he said and, you know, how he said it and the tone that he said it. When you read it, it sounds maybe a lot different than the way he says it and talks about it.
I guess I look at it as you're not going to take rich people's problems away from them and rich people entitlement away from them and what the luxuries that some of these have. Not everybody has these luxuries. And to spend time trying to get everybody on board on the same mentality is just we can do everything we can to try to help and be realistic. But Dabo Sweeney's, I mean, he's the one that said that I'm going to quit college football when all these college football players get the name, image, and NIL, name, image, and likeness.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of talking out of both sides. But
at the same time here, you know, Dabo is doing, so. You know, and he's not saying that, you know, this text came in, the clarifying comment is we'll beat this because we have a private plane. And that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, you know, in that quote, he says we don't have any concern about the virus contracting it or whether or not they can beat
the virus. So he's thinking positively. And what it sounds like.
Yes, it is. But he's also thinking positively in the wake of going against what all the public health officials are telling
us
to do.
And I'm not defending Dabo Sweeney, but if you have a private airplane and you're only with your current immediate family and you go from one to point A to point B, you're not socializing with anyone else. You're going to a secluded location and you're landing in that time. I understand it's not following supposedly a quote unquote 2-week time, but for some reason, I don't believe Dabo Sweeney's going to be breaking laws I just don't know. And so I go, okay, rich people are going to stop doing rich people things.
But I also think if they
can get away. I mean, we got the NBA and Major League Baseball creating things because they want their money. And so this isn't any different to me. This is no different than Major League Baseball and NBA. And it's no different than Dana White buying an island or renting an island so he can have dudes get sweaty and beat the crap out of each other. It's no different. It's just rich guys trying to stay rich. The WWE did the same thing to try to keep WrestleMania. So let's not get outraged at Dabo for doing the same damn thing that's going to try to entertain us for the next 4 months.
Well, what I don't know how him going to Florida is doing that for as far as like getting football back. And, you know, last week he did say that, you know, I have zero doubt that this we're going to have football back and we're going to be playing football again, which, you know, I think that is an optimism and sentiment that, you know, we're rethinking how we critically think. Like everything was black and white. You know, there's such a black and white right and wrong way of thinking. Like there's so much gray area in this. And he's a really influential person in the state of South Carolina.
I still
think
he's a really great coach. He's a great man. And he is, I mean, his players love him. The coaches I know stay there. They love him. All of that, he's...
But here's the risky part about Dabo, like, kind of saying, you know, we have no worries about what's happening and no concerns on whether or not they're gonna you know, get sick or spread the virus or anything like that, is that he is so influential that there are people that'll be like, see, Dabo's not worried about it. Well, why should I be? And they don't understand, like, he's got a private plane. He has so many things that other people don't, and you know, the stay at home orders are so people aren't going out and going around and spreading the disease. I mean, this is different than just like going for a walk or going for a bike ride.
While I understand leadership is a very powerful thing, and it's not everybody is eloquent and great and perfect at being the best leader for everybody. And if there are followers out there that need Dabo Swinney to tell them to stay home, those people need to look at other leadership.
Right.
Okay. You can't, I mean, not everybody is great at it because Ed Orgeron is doing the PSAs for his state because his state's under lockdown and crisis. That's Ed Orgeron. But we're all waiting for everybody to just give up everything. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't, but I think I would look to the more intelligent people of the CDC, the smart doctors to give me the leadership. Mm-hmm. But like we said, we saw in the South, you know, we've seen religion. We've seen all these things. These people are still going to churches. They're doing that's not Dabo's. I mean, this is a culture down there. The ones that have not moved the most or who define the most is the whole southern region of our country. Yeah. It's right there on the proof of the maps of cell phone tracking and the ones that are social distancing the least. This is just we're doing a great job here. If you looked at us here on the West Coast and in the Northwest, I mean, we're following it tight. It's just different. It's a different lifestyle, different culture. Not saying what's right or what's wrong here, but
and I think
I mean, to jump on it and say everybody's got to do their job. We all got to do better. Everybody's got to try to do better.
Well, then that is what, you know, that and that's it. That's what the point is. I mean, you just said it right there, is that everybody's got to do better. And when you have influential people coming out and saying, you know, we went on vacation to Florida, we're going to do it again, and we don't have any concern. Like that is one of those, everyone's got to do their part. And maybe it's simple as what this texter says, is just you go ahead and if you're going to do it, just don't say anything about it, Dabo.
Oh, so out of sight, out of mind is really what
I don't think is a great way to go about it. But, you know, why in the world are you going to sit there? And I guess the reason why you do it is because you don't think you're doing anything wrong.
You don't think you're doing anything wrong. You don't look at all these people out walking. There's four people walking right here. They're all within 6 feet.
And okay?
They're all out running. They're all out. They're walking by. So I got guys walking by and forth. Okay, do I take pictures of them and say, you're not doing it right? Am I the police? I mean, nobody knows what the right procedures are. We think we do, but we're all trying to figure this out.
And we're all looking to the leaders of our community. Yeah.
Look, more people running by all right next to each other.
I know, but there is, we look to the leaders of our community, and whether these coaches want to admit it or not, that's exactly what they are. Yeah. There's a reason why Dabo Swinney gets paid $9.3 million to be the head coach at Clemson. It's not just because he coaches Clemson. It's because he is the biggest ambassador to Clemson University and really probably the state of South Carolina.
So what do you want Dabo to do? I guess I would ask. What does the masses want him to do? Well, sit in his house and give PSAs on commercial and be smart and be the sacrificial leader that he should be for that region?
Well, maybe do what you just said we all should be doing. And I think what we're doing is listening to the leaders of, you know, the CDC, Dr. Fauci, mm-hmm. and taking the recommendations of those leaders who are the people that are in the know. I mean, is that that's what I would assume, you know, he should do. But again,
but are you in the business of telling? We're not on this business
where people people will do what they want, and he's got his freedoms, and nobody is locking Dabo Swinney into his house. But it's not like he's above reproach in that either.
I can't really find anything he did wrong, other than they're doing. Everybody is surviving this the best way they know how.
Well, he traveled during a time they're saying don't take discretionary travel. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm. On a private airplane.
And saying he's going to do it again.
On a private airplane.
Yeah, but it's like getting in your car, don't you?
It's no different than getting in your car. It's like no different in my mind. Not defending it. I'm just saying I don't see any difference in getting in a family car and going through a drive-thru. Yeah.
Right, but going on vacation heightens risk more than staying home, period.
I guess I don't see it as a vacation. He went to his house.
Well, that also true.
Again, if I had my own private plane, I'd be jumping ship too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other celebrities that are doing the exact same thing. Yeah, if we want to break Dabo down, Swinney, and they're not saying anything about it.
Home is safer than not. Objectively. Yeah,
absolutely. Objectively.
He just went to his Florida home to stay home.
That's right. All right, 55305. That's a fan text line. Homeschool with Amy Cutting, animal curator, Oregon Zoo, coming up at the top of the hour. Get your questions in if you got questions for Amy. Anything zoo related. Text us 55305. We got some coming in already. Next we go off the rails. Older than America. An animal was found. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, it is 7:51. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Amy Cutting, animal curator, Oregon Zoo, for our homeschooling. Help you parents out there that are now becoming teachers. Homeschool. She's an animal curator at the Oregon Zoo, so we've got a lot of questions for her. We've got questions coming in on the fan text line, including how soft is the red panda? Which is actually a great question because that thing is adorable.
Are they notoriously soft, the red panda?
No idea. That's why we're going to ask her. But that question came in, and I find it fascinating, like all of these other industries, and this is kind of the reason why I wanted to reach out to Amy, was because how many different like jobs are there that are out there that you sit there and you're like, I have no idea what that person does, but you take it in quite often. Like that's what the zoo is a great example of this. I have no idea what an animal curator is or how much goes into the zoo. And I have so many questions about the zoo that maybe you don't get answered there. You know, it's tough to kind of, you go into a place and it's like, all right, for example, how many animals are at the zoo? Do you know that? Have you ever wondered like how many different species are at the zoo?
No.
But you go walk in there and you're like, this place is huge. How many are here? Or like, what is what animals interact with each other at that zoo? You know, what animal is costs the most to feed on a monthly basis? You know, like you have no idea when you just start thinking about like what goes into operating like a place like the Oregon Zoo. I've got questions, so we're gonna go ahead and we're soliciting those questions from you on the fan text line 55305. You or you know your kids, ask your kids if there's any questions that they want to have for animal curator at Amy Cutting. Have you seen what the British researchers found up in the Arctic Ocean? This is wild. Or actually, they're from the University of Copenhagen. They found what's believed to be the oldest living animal, about between 272 and 500 years old, a Greenland shark. They did radiocarbon dating.
272 is oddly specific.
Isn't it?
272 and 500. 500 is a nice round number, but 272. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. No, 512 is old. It's 272 to 512 is the oldest. But they're saying that this animal is around 400 years old. That means that this shark, it was around like 100 years before America was a country in 1776. Mm-hmm. Think of how old this shark is. when you think of what we know of like the longest living animals in our world, 400-year-old animal. I can't even fathom that being a living creature just swimming around for 400 years.
There's probably a lot of things that are swimming down there that we have no idea about.
Yeah, and apparently these come to the surface. Often they tend to be deeper in cold water oceans, but they're also saying that the problem that they're having here is World War II may be affecting the current population of these Greenland sharks,
mm-hmm.
because when you're a 400-year-old animal, they say they don't reach maturity until like 150 years old. So that's when they're breeding at like between like 100 and 150. And they were, I guess, hunted and fished because in World War II, they ran out of like synthetic, you know, oils, and they were using the shark's livers for machine oil. So they were fished a lot during World War II. And right now the population is just now being affected by that, because if you think about it, how many of those sharks were entering that maturity phase where they're going to have a population problem?
And that's oceanography and fish talk with Dustin.
We're talking 400 years old, Cam, fish. And 150 years old.
It's an old fish, man. It's an old fish.
Holy smokes.
So then this has no viable predator whatsoever that comes after it.
Oh, absolutely not.
Really?
I mean
what would it be?
Otherwise, it would have been gotten by now, right?
How many of them are there?
It's like the biggest alligator. What's going to go get the biggest alligator? Nothing. Except a person.
Well, hippos snap those alligators in half all the time. They fight all the time. Hippos, yeah. Man, those things are, they snap those gators.
Saltwater crocs are terrifying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Those fights happen all the time. And those the crocs get them.
Yeah, the hippos
love taking down those big crocs.
That's wild. All right, let's keep our zoology going. Amy Cutting, homeschool starting for us. We will educate y'all with homeschool with Amy Cutting, animal curator, Oregon Zoo joins us next. This is Dusty and Cam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.